Tom Woods Show, episode 2168.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, the Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, if you've decided it's best not to have your kids educated by people who have declared war on you, then consider the self-taught Ron Paul curriculum. Instructors like me will give your kids an unfair advantage and an education you and I could only have dreamed of. But make sure you join through my link, because only there do you get my $160 worth of free bonuses. My link is ronpaulhomeschool.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here, broadcasting to you from New York City this week. That's completely irrelevant to any of the episodes this week, but just mentioning that I'm in a hotel here. I've got my daughter with me, and we are theater aficionados, and now that the masks are gone and the vax requirements are gone, we're actually going to see a few plays, because we love doing that. And we're going to visit with our old friend Gene Epstein while we are here in town. Now, coming up this week, I'm going to have Dan McCarthy talking about his very interesting Spectator article, Brave New Wombs. Tomorrow, if all goes well, we're going to be talking to Michael Rechtenwald. You'll remember him, the ex-Marxist, formerly of NYU, who is now the most solid, sound, imaginable guy. And there's always something interesting to talk about with him. And I'm going to be talking about a topic that, as you will have surmised by now, is becoming dearer to my heart with Michael Rechtenwald. So expect that tomorrow. Today, I want to talk about something that makes me very happy, something that I have been working on for some time, and the details of which have been unknown to most people. But I am revealing those details today alongside my brand new friend, whom I just got to know this very year, 2022. 2022 has been a very fruitful year for me in multiple ways, not least of which is that I have met some truly outstanding and very accomplished and very good and decent people. And David Moore is one of them. I'm going to give him a chance to introduce himself to you, but he's been involved in a lot of entrepreneurial coaching after selling his own business. He's very, very insightful and just a great guy. Everybody, all of our mutual friends love him. Everybody I've introduced him to thinks he's a genius. So I thought, well, come on the show and let's talk about what we've been doing to make the world better, other than just shouting into the wind or complaining. What have we been doing actually to make the world better? David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here.
All right, let's talk about your personal background. I only know the basic contours of it, but I know that you sold a healthcare-related business not that long ago. I don't exactly know when it happened. Why did you do that? And then what did you do next?
Well, I sold my business simply because it was time to sell. I'd grown a business and spent 9 years in healthcare and pharmacy world. And it was time for me to really kind of spread my wings and explore different areas of entrepreneurship. I was involved in entrepreneurship organization all along the way. And I learned a lot about working with startups, individuals, and the needs that they have as they pursue their entrepreneurial journey. And that was really my next interest after I sold.
So how long had you been in business? I mean, you have some kind of entrepreneurial background, therefore. How long have you been doing it? Did you have anything before this business?
This was the primary one, but like every entrepreneur, you know, you put your hands in everything, it seems like. But this was my primary exit in terms of the large financial event. But I've been involved in startups and doing some coaching with various startup groups pretty much all throughout. I'm one of those entrepreneurs that really can't keep their nose in their own business, so to speak. So I like to help friends on their projects and be a sounding board for whatever stage they're at in their business growth.
Yeah. You know, there's this thing about not offering unsolicited advice, and I am terrible at living by that because
I'm the worst.
Yeah.
I have to make a career of it, right?
Yeah. Because I hear somebody doing something and I say, well, I hope you're going to do X. I hope you're going to do Y. Don't forget Z. And they generally appreciate it. But then also, I genuinely like getting feedback from knowledgeable people about what it is that I do. Like, I don't like getting feedback from the consumer, which, like, for example, I used to have a podcast called Contra Krugman, and somebody was unhappy that very, very occasionally we ran ads on that podcast. And so his message to us was, hey, I really like your content, but... And so what I don't like is feedback where the consumer says, I like what you're doing, but I want it to be on my terms. Well, you know, we have families to feed, man. You know, so that is not interesting to me. If every single person was upset about that, then I would wonder, I don't know, maybe I've got the wrong audience or something. They don't know how capitalism works. I don't know. But what I do like, for example, Henry Bingaman, who's a great copywriter, who's helping me on a major project right now, just sat me down and let's just say I pay him a lot per hour. And he went over the sales letter I had written and he said, all right, look, let's just face it. This part's boring. This part's putting me to sleep. Like I want to skip ahead. You got to work on this. I want to be told that, you know, and I like telling other people things like that. It's nothing personal. It's that I want you to succeed. So sometimes I have to throw a little cold water on your head. That's all.
Right. You've been the recipient of great advice. I've been the recipient of great advice. And it's been so helpful that I feel an obligation to interject that great advice when I see an opportunity to do it. Absolutely.
So how'd you get involved with Exit? I had Kevin Dolan on the show last week, and he runs Exit, which is a group for people who, for whatever reason, could be the politics, could be the hours, could just be the nature of the work, whatever it is that's making them miserable about a corporate job. This group helps to navigate them out of it and find them something that's more fulfilling. I mean, obviously, everybody would leave if they immediately knew what their path was. That the problem is, I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't keep this soul-crushing job. And so it's up to Kevin and his group to navigate people through this process. So how did you get involved in that?
I came across Exit on social media, and I read what they were about in terms of helping people become resilient economically and from a courageous standpoint in terms of the, you know, the culture that we're living in now of coercion, of speech, of activity, and especially how it's sort of infiltrated the world of our working environment. And it's become very oppressive for people to kind of live under conditions where they have to make choices between freedom of speech and feeding their family and providing health insurance for their kids. And I'm kind of an idealist person by nature, I would say. I want the best world for others. And I thought that this was a moment where entrepreneurship and really becoming ideologically aligned was the right moment in the culture for that. So I saw what Exit was doing and is doing as this opportunity to bring the entrepreneurship skills to a group of people that are trying to become more anti-fragile in the world around them.
I myself have not actually ever been in a group like this or a mastermind group, and yet I feel like I could benefit from it. I have a feeling that I have friends who are in these groups, but that these are the kind of groups that they have to approach you. You know, like it's not generally known because they get a lot of people knocking on their doors and they don't want that. So they have to approach you. I haven't yet been approached by anybody running a mastermind. I'd love to be part of that. But anyway, that's another thing entirely. I snagged you because I started my own project earlier this year, my Tom Woods School of Life. I started that just out of a sense that I was looking back at my own life and what I've been up to. And I don't have any regrets about what I've done. I think that the contributions I've made have helped some people, particularly the work I did on the Ron Paul Homeschool Program. But what I noticed about that, number one, is that that was not a political thing I did. That did not involve donating to a political campaign. That was outside of politics. And yet, it makes a tangible difference in the lives of an awful lot of people. The second thing that happened to me, so number one, I was kind of looking over what have I been doing and does it amount to anything? When you get to be my age, I mean, I am just about to hit 50 very, very soon after this episode is released. If you're anything like me, you become very reflective. And I began to, as I say, examine what I've been up to. But the other thing that happened to me around this time was, of course, we all lived through COVID and the government response to it. And I was deeply disappointed by the response of much of the public. They just mindlessly went along with it. And it made me think that I want to spend more of my time trying to help people who fully get it, who are fully awake, who fully understand what's going on in the world, whose lives were disrupted by all this, and who really do want to try to build something out of the wreckage of our society. I want to be doing that. I still want to do the Tom Woods Show. I love libertarianism and all that, but I want to take actual libertarians and see what we can do to improve the day-to-day lives that we live, actually improve them in the here and now. I can theorize all day long about what life would be like in Ancapistan, or I can get started right now doing finite but practical things to help us get through this crazy world in which every major institution despises us. So that's why I started the School of Life. And I brought you on because toward the end of our first term, I mean, it's an indefinite program, but I only open it to more members every 6 months. I was thinking I should be doing even more. You know, in this group, we learn all kinds of great skills, you know, whether it's homeschooling or parenting or investing or budgeting or how to communicate more effectively or how to be more confident in social situations or how to learn about your health other than through what Dr. Fauci tells you, all these sorts of practical things. But I saw what Kevin was doing and I thought it was incredible. And I thought, I want this service for my people. I want somebody to help guide them either out of a job that's making them miserable or to take the business they're currently running and help them get to the next level by making connections, by teaching them things, by getting them in groups. Boy, this was a long preamble to your response. No, I'm sorry. Great. I'll shut up for the rest of it. But I just want people to understand what you're doing is a corner, but a very, very important corner of the School of Life program that I launched. So I basically said to Kevin, I want to merge with your exit. And then we decided we wouldn't do that. But then I said, all right, I want to bring you on to coordinate creating these kinds of groups for my people, for my audience, for people who need this service. And so he wanted to bring you along because he had really been impressed with what you do. And now, boy, you've got groups. I looked at your schedule. You're just running groups like mad. And then we do, everybody in the groups is entitled to a one-on-one call with you for 30 minutes. Holy cow, is this labor intensive.
You know, it's, I love it though, Tom. It's so fun because I get to see in this corner of the School of Life, there's so much activity going on and people are taking real forward movement action toward their goals. And we have people in the exploratory phase. We have people who are active entrepreneurs already. We have people that are here as mentors. I know that Kevin had talked about having something to learn and something to teach. And that's certainly been the case with everybody that I've met in the one-on-ones is that people have a vast array of talents and skills. And it's a very industrious group of people. So that's a compliment to you that you attract such an industrious, hardworking group of people to your school. And I'm just excited about when I talk one-on-one with folks, I get really excited about the potential of what they've got to offer, but also what they want to achieve in their personal life. I have a sense that people have really accomplished a lot already, but they want to maybe make some pivots or some adjustments, or they want to add on additional components to their career or their business. I get a chance to talk one-on-one with them about it. And then I get a chance in a group setting to rely on the wisdom and the collaboration of the group on a weekly basis to nudge them forward and set those accountability goals each week to help them make steps towards achieving their desired end state, which is very rewarding for me. So a lot of work, but worth it.
I just got an email the other day about one of the other group coordinators. This is a member of the school who said, I had my private one-on-one 30-minute session, and I realized that the idea I'm working on is actually a bad idea, and that I could, because of the sunk cost fallacy, just keep pushing forward with it, but it's just going to cost me a fortune, and that I've got to pivot. And so instead, I've decided to do X, Y, and Z. So that's equally important. I mean, it's one thing to give people great ideas. That's also great. But you also need to tell people when they have a bad idea that's just going to suck the money and life out of them, and that they need to do something else. And he said, I am so thankful. Because as soon as he explained it to me, I realized, this is him talking, as soon as he explained it to me, I realized, you're right. Yeah, this idea is not going to go anywhere. And he's right. I should instead be doing such and such. Thank goodness. You know, we think of the agony we just saved this guy.
Right. There's that phrase that product does not survive first contact with customer. Well, if you move up even one step from that, let's save you even more time. Let's take your idea to an accountability group even before it goes to the marketplace and help you, you know, be as expedient with your time as possible by having you bring your ideas to a kind of a test market and use these School of Life accountability groups and the larger group to bring your minimum viable ideas, your prototypes, your concepts in their earliest form that we can help you pivot when the stakes are small and when before you've expended a lot of time.
And you can be at a stage where you don't even really know exactly what you're going to do. You have some ideas, you're kicking them around, you're not sure what your next steps are. You can be that, or you can be a very established person who wants to go to the next level. We take all sorts and we connect them with people who can help them. We have good discussions every week in all these different groups according to your schedule. Listen, folks, people listening to them, I poured an enormous amount of money into this, an enormous amount of money to build something that would help people. To build something that would help them in all these different areas of life. So I want to talk about it. I think it's important. And I would add to that, look, if after what we've just gone through over the past couple of years doesn't make you think that it might be important to have at least some kind of side thing that you could fall back on in a pinch, you know, that at the very least it would be useful to talk to people, talk through what that might look like. You know, if you don't immediately know what it is, well, talk through it with people who you know, have good ideas about stuff like this. If the past couple of years haven't made you think, well, at least now I kind of get why he's been talking about this, then I don't really know what to say. You know, I mean, I think everybody's got to have some kind of a plan B to, as you say, make themselves so-called anti-fragile.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a group and an idea for whose time has come, for sure. And in terms of, you know, the accountability group, when I think of accountability, I really think of forward motion and getting to take those steps that move you toward the thing that you want. One of the things that I've seen in the groups has been folks who have maybe somewhat of might be a dream career, podcasting or YouTubing. We've even helped those people chunk down those types of ideas into smaller steps. We've encouraged people to perhaps get involved in some public speaking courses or to do the write out the first draft of a newsletter that they might send to their audience. Really to take a lot of the dream ideas that they've maybe thought about as they're driving in their car. Maybe they'd like to be a content creator or some career that looks very attractive to them, but also to chunk it down into the micro steps that are involved and hold them accountable each week to the steps that they know that will eventually lead to that end goal.
And sometimes you don't know. In fact, you hardly ever know what you're going to encounter in that group and what kind of things can pop up. So I popped in on one of these groups recently, and we have somebody in there who's an artist and who sometimes does caricatures. And I said, you know, that might be kind of an interesting kind of oddball thing for me to have at one of my live events, is to be have a caricaturist there. And so I wrote to him and said, let's talk. Well, next time I have an event, maybe I'll hire you to come down and offer that as a service. And I'll pay you the going rate. And so he just got a gig just sitting there in his house, being on that group. I said to myself, actually, no one would expect that. So that's why I like it. You know, maybe you could offer your services to my people. So that goes on, you know, and we've only just started this. We already have all these encouraging stories.
Absolutely. I can tell you all the times when people say, let's connect after this call. You contact me directly. And it's two other members of the group who have touched on some idea that's happened throughout the group conversation. And they follow up one-on-one. And that's really where the magic of the group happens, is when it's not just the facilitator to the group, but the group members themselves making these connections, seeing economic opportunities, seeing collaborative places where they can go, maybe we can do something together here. And they go off and they have their own Zoom call. And that's where the magic takes place, is all the serendipitous happenings that occur over time.
So can you just explain the basics of the makeup of this thing and the nuts and bolts of it?
Sure. So the accountability group is essentially about 8 to 12 people that meet once a week with a facilitator. And you have a group call where you're given 8 minutes to go over your goals and objectives, your background. And then about halfway through that 8 minutes, you're interrupted and with great questions and ideas from the rest of the group. And you're encouraged to set an accountability item that basically carries you forward to the next week. And then we have a group chat feature where you're connecting with the group members throughout the week and you're sharing ideas, you're sharing progress, you're introducing yourself to the members of the larger school in general. So perhaps to promote your ideas or to get feedback or crowdsource the wisdom of all the experts that are in the school. And you also have a quarterly one-on-one with your facilitator, which is a chance to go a little bit deeper in terms of what you want to accomplish, to share more context, to provide that facilitator with the tools they need to be looking out for you and to be understanding your situation and going into other groups and finding people they might need to connect you with so that you can accomplish your goals.
Well, because we, at this point, because it's just a pilot program that we're in the middle of expanding, we have just a couple of facilitators. And so that means that between the two of you, you know all the group members of all the different groups. So if somebody is struggling with something in one group, you can say, wait a minute, there's a guy who does that in the other group. There's a guy who teaches this in the other group. Or there's somebody who's got some product idea, and then there's somebody else in another group who has an audience for that exact product. I have helped to make connections like that myself. I've only been to 2 sessions so far. I want to try to get to more of them. So this is the kind of thing that you couldn't script this, you couldn't predict it in advance, but you had to know that you put smart people with ambition together in a room who, it doesn't hurt that they all share a worldview. None of them are apologizing for the fact that they sell things or they want to be wealthy. None of them have to get over that. None of them have guilt feelings. They're all good old capitalists who just want to be successful. There's going to be synergy coming out of that, just unavoidable.
Absolutely. There's so much goodwill in the groups. The facilitators, we meet weekly and talk about the needs and leads of the group members, but there's so much goodwill in the groups that everyone is looking out for everyone else in terms of, let's get you the right connections, We're paying attention to the chat in terms of who might be a resource for your project or a sounding board for your idea. I think it's really true when you think about how, you know, who you want to be aligned with. And when you want to come to these spaces of, you know, creation and development and experimentation, you really want to be around people that are overall supporting you in general, aren't looking to cancel you in the middle of your creative process, right? You want to do your creative process in as a supportive group as possible.
Give me some examples. Now, again, the school's been open for just about half a year, but these groups are still very new because it, you know, took me a while to figure out, wait a minute, I want this feature. I want this in my school life. And I just added it. I didn't say, well, now you all have to pay more. But I just added it. Here's another thing for free, basically. We're just including. Here you go. And it took a while. We had to get it all set up. So they haven't been around that long. And yet already, though, we're seeing the beginnings of some really fruitful connections and results.
Yeah. We've got one guy in our group who came to the group looking for a business-to-business B2B sales process. And actually on that very same call, he met a guy who is going into business for developing B2B sales processes. And so one gentleman's looking for the process and the other guy's saying, hey, I'm actually developing those processes. Can I use you as my first client? And so that's something we see a lot is we have a need that emerges and then we have someone that wants to be in that space. And so a lot of those first client relationships are developed. We also have a guy who is in e-commerce and he's looking to expand his e-commerce business. And he's finding people who want to add e-commerce to their lines of business. So you've got people who are adding e-commerce to their existing business. And then he's finding that he might have a career in teaching how it's done. We also have a copy editor. She's realizing she has a great network of virtual assistants. She gets a lot of her copy editing assignments through the virtual assistant network that she knows. And she's realizing that she gets more work than she actually can handle. And she has a lot of aspiring copy editors who are in her orbit. And she's determined that she's going to pull additional work through a larger web of virtual assistants, keep the copy editing work that's most suited for her, and delegate out the remainder to the aspiring copy editors that she finds and, you know, get to keep a portion of the profits. We've also got some content creators in the group who are just really wanting to be kept on track with their publishing and their creation schedules. We've got a guy with a landscaping company that is using the group to help improve his marketing and hiring practices. And the one thing that I've really enjoyed is a lot of folks who have been, you know, they purchased courses or products over the years, and maybe they know it's a good course or they know it's a good product, but they just haven't been taking the action that the course requires. And so they've utilized the group call each week to say, I'm going to do module 6. And I'm going to make the in real life actions take place this week that accompany the course. And I think that has been a very common theme throughout this corner of the school is finding people that have really committed to taking action on the things that they had a hunch that they would be wanting to learn more about. And we are really supercharging their process in terms of keeping them accountable to the courses and products that they know will lead them to the desired end state, the career that they want.
All right, let me take a minute in the middle of all this to thank our sponsor for this episode, BetterHelp. If you had to own the same car for your entire life, I promise you would take really good care of it. Well, you own the same brain for your whole life, and your brain also needs to be cared for. And you can care for it in multiple ways, through getting a good night's sleep, keeping it active by listening to intellectually stimulating things like the Tom Woods Show, but there's also BetterHelp online therapy. A lot of times an option like BetterHelp doesn't occur to you because you've just grown accustomed to depression or whatever's holding you back from happiness to the point where you no longer even think of it as something that's fixable. It's just an unavoidable feature of life for you. So my voice speaking to you right now is the pattern interrupt that tells you, wait a minute, you can break out of this. And BetterHelp is a great, convenient way to do so. And I am not ashamed to tell you that I, years ago, used BetterHelp, and it was tremendously beneficial to me. It's online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat-only therapy sessions. So if you don't want to see anybody on camera, you don't have to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/woods. That's betterhelp.com/woods. There's somebody, I don't want to mention names, but we had a live in-person event that was, of course, optional. But I thought, what the heck? I also didn't promise this. I'm going to throw this in as a surprise. And I'm thinking next time when I do one of these School of Life in-person events, I will open it to outsiders, people who aren't members, but they'll have to pay. But if you're a member of the School of Life, the whole event is free for you. Well, anyway, somebody at that event made a connection where his service that he offers is going to be put in front of a company whose customers will love it, a company that has 10 million people on its email list. And this will be, there is no doubt whatsoever in my mind that that'll be a six-figure result for him. If he can't make a six-figure result out of that, he should just quit now. This thing is going to run itself, basically. And he made that connection. The company is very interested in what he offers, and they want to promote it. Basically, they're going to do a 50-50 revenue split, and that's going to bring in six figures for him. And he made that connection at my event.
That's fantastic. Yeah, the event was incredible. I was blown away by the talent and the potential and the accomplished and connected and networked people that were in the room. I'm really excited to be at the next one. I think that was one of the great, you call it a surprise, but I think it was just a fantastic opportunity to be in the room with the members of the school and blown away by the talent that was in the room.
And people were surprised when I said, oh, by the way, you've all been very edified by our speakers over this weekend. Well, let me point out to you that I didn't have to go recruiting speakers for this thing. All these speakers, every single person who has blown you away this weekend is just an ordinary member of this program, just like you. But that's the caliber of person that's drawn to this thing. People who are action-oriented, who are tired of just sitting around complaining or writing articles all day long, who actually want to make a change. Well, I've got very, very impressive people in this thing. So that was great. I had people coming to me saying, I could give a presentation on X. I could give a presentation on Y. The program wrote itself. I did not have to go out seeking anything. They all came to me. So that's my kind of conference, by the way. I didn't have to do any legwork whatsoever. These people came to me.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think more and more the individuals that have approached me in the groups have said, you know, I've got something I'd like to share with the school. I've got something I'd like to write or teach. And I say, go for it. This is your laboratory. This is your stage to practice what you'd like to take to the marketplace and bring it here and showcase it and get the feedback. This is 100% your domain to bring all your ideas. And like you said, even at the meetup, you had folks that were wanting to speak on stage and had incredible speakers at that event. And the talent that was in the room, I think everybody saw it. And it's just a real testament to the fact that, you know, this is a place of growth. It's a place where you can develop your courage around a new idea and to experiment with new ideas that are outside of your W-2 source of income. I think a lot of people have said that to me, that they want to experience a source of income that does not come directly from their employer. And for some people, this is that first experience of a dollar, you know, that comes from a source that is not their corporate overlord. And that is a great thing for people to be able to taste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That the first dollar is the key one, because then it convinces them that they can do it.
That's right.
You know, when I started this thing, I thought that the whole, it goes to show how something can evolve when you get feedback and you see how things work. This was kind of trial and error. I thought the way I'm going to do this school is every month I'll bring in a couple of experts on some topic. So it could be, again, could be investing, could be homeschooling, could be parenting. Well, I even did my own presentation on how to give an effective speech, and I showed video clips. In fact, I showed what to do and what not to do by showing clips from Scott Horton's recent debate with Kathy Young at Porkfest. So I played Scott, then I played Kathy, and I had people comment, well, what do you think the strengths and weaknesses were? So it was a lot of fun. So I brought on some really, really terrific and outstanding people with an enormous amount to teach. But that's not, you know, I don't want it to just be a school where there's lecturers on the screen. You know, we have enough of that. But what I also noticed was, even though I spent tens of thousands of dollars bringing the top people I could to teach people the key things we need to know in order to survive in a world that hates us. But what I didn't realize was, again, that the people who joined would have their own specialized knowledge that they could share. So now we've got people doing member webinars that are not, you know, my official ones for the month, but we have somebody proposing to do one, for instance, on crowdfunding. He just recently had a very successful crowdfunding project. And so he wants to share with the group what he learned about crowdfunding so that we can be more successful at it. So stuff like that, just being at it. So there's all this knowledge that's out there dispersed and nobody's known what to do with it. But it turns out you bring people together who are action-oriented and it all just comes out. And so I couldn't plan this. I'm sounding very Hayekian here, dispersed knowledge, couldn't have planned this. But it's true. I've observed it with my own eyes.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, it's kind of like, you said it's not the school metaphor. Well, it is like a school in that you have people developing groups, developing their own clubs, developing their own presentations within the school. It really is kind of that because this isn't, you know, we want to be a little bit unruly, right? We want to have conversations in the hallways and pass notes and form our own clubs and do all the things that you would do at a normal school, right? You want to be taking advantage of the fact that you've got all this talent under one roof. And I think people are doing a great job of really saying, who do I get to be in here and what do I get to experiment with? Maybe I've got this job where I can't explore some of these ideas, or I've got a business that has some aspects of it that are maybe grown a little bit stale and I want to try out some new offerings at the School of Life. And so I think it's a great way for people to, you know, I say laboratory, but I think it's a place for growth and experimentation and also for accountability. You know, people, I think we often find that, you know, we want that wisdom of the crowd, but we also need a crowd to give us feedback on the ideas that were early on in our pitching, you know, in our prototypes.
Right. And I certainly could have benefited from this myself in the past. I myself want to start figuring out how I can take advantage of it. Pick a group, just be in it, and run ideas by people. And the nice thing is, at this point, you know, after 6 months of this, some people kind of feel like they sort of know me, so they don't have to be yes men to me. So if I show up to the group, they don't have to tell me that every one of my ideas is brilliant. You know, that could just, I don't want that. If I have a turkey of an idea, I really need somebody to tell me. It's, you know, I don't want to learn that out in the real world. I want to learn it in the group.
Well, I love that, Tom, because essentially that's one of the things we're hearing from some of the more accomplished business people is that it's a place where they can access beginner's mind. Right. So maybe they've had some pretty great accomplishments in the world, but they want to maybe enter some domains in which they are a little bit new and they do need some accountability. Or we've got people that are, you know, they're completely full, their calendars are completely full, but there's something that they haven't yet given the attention to that they know that is part of their legacy and that they want to set aside time each week to work on it. And so there's a lot of ways that one can utilize an accountability group. When I think of accountability, it really is about that forward motion and using the external, the gentle and supportive but helpful external pressure of peers that have your best interests in mind to move you forward on something that's important to you. And in terms of whether you're here for the network or you're here for the accountability week to week pressure, you're going to find both in the group. And I think that's what's been so surprising for people is they say, you know, I found out that I was going in this one direction, but through the wisdom of the group and the feedback that I've got from some of the conversations I've had, that I'm going to pivot and make new choices and maybe even revive some of their past realizations around what they were interested in the past. And they can dig deeper and bring those ideas to life. So there's just an enormously valuable forward moving, goal setting energy in these accountability groups. And people are getting results that they may not have even expected going in.
I hate to wrap up on a somewhat melancholy note, but when I turned 40, I was kind of annoyed because I thought, 40, yeah, I'm going to have to endure all these stupid over-the-hill jokes. And gee, maybe I am over the hill. But it wasn't a big deal because I realized, wait a minute, I feel exactly the same. You know, it's no problem. But now that I'm on the verge of 50, I don't know. It actually is affecting me a little bit because you get to 50 and you realize that you have probably more yesterdays than you have tomorrows. And in my case, it really has focused my attention on what do I want to be able to say I did when all is said and done. I mean, I'm proud of things I've done in my life, but I wouldn't say that the thing I would want on my tombstone is that he recorded more podcasts than most people. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm proud of the Tom Woods Show. I think it performs a really helpful role. You know, I think it fills a gap. But I also want to be able to say at a time when, you know, that a lot of good people found themselves living in a dystopia, that I did something about it. That I, you know, I can't shut down Yale University and replace it with a university full of normal people. I can't do that. I can't force all these people in government to retire, but I can build something. I can take what I've got, take the audience that I've built, take the skills that I've learned, take the context that I have where I know smart, accomplished, talented people around the world and say, let's put our heads together and do something. And then as I go forward, it makes turning 50 not seem quite so dreary and glum. I feel like I'm turning a new page. And so that whenever it is that all woods here should expire, you know, I'll be able to say I went out doing something valuable that will have helped people. That's the way I'm thinking about it these days. Now, you are a mere lad compared to me, or at least that's how you look. I don't know how old you are. So you probably don't have these melancholy thoughts, but that is kind of the way I think about this right now, is that it gives my life an extra kind of meaning as I go into this, you know, probably more than the second half, the final third of it. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard that there's so many one-on-ones where folks will talk about, you know, I just don't want this to be the only thing that I've done, or this has drawn out one aspect of my gifts and my talents, but I've got a lot more to give. And my corporate job maybe just isn't asking enough of what I have to do, or it's not providing enough meaning for me. And I think it is that call, maybe in midlife, that we say, all right, well, let's figure out what it is. And sometimes we've grown very specialized by these corporate jobs. And so oftentimes we need to be taken to a kind of a group session and go, all right, well, here are my skills. Here is my past. Here are my achievements. And help me to re-engineer and repurpose and develop this into something new and different. Or maybe you know what that thing is and you want to bring it to this group. You've already identified the project and you want to be held accountable to its completion. But I can tell you that whichever stage you're in, we've got the kind of the investigative protocols in place to help you draw out what it is that you are most capable of doing in this life. And we've got the ways and means to keep you on track with those things, right? We're really studying kind of human motivation, all of us together, and seeing some of those things that hold us back. And we see it together as a group and we talk about it and we challenge one another. And really, it's really this kind of gym or this development space of the human spirit to say, look, you are meant for more. And this is the place where you can come and take action on those things that will make your life as great as you know it can be.
Well, again, I shouldn't say this without asking him. I just shouldn't. It's just not right. I don't want to force him into a corner, but I just know that he'll do it. When things slow down for Eric July, you know, who's been having a massive success with his new comic book company, I want to get him on as a bonus, like in addition to what we would ordinarily be doing as a bonus. I want to bring him on for a live evening session where I want him to walk us through from idea to execution, how he did this. You know, a lot of people think I'd love to start a comic book company, and yet none of them do. Partly because they don't have the money, partly because they don't know what is step one. I don't even know what step one is. And he's done it. And he showed a lot of naysayers who were doubting him and who were taunting him that he would be a failure and it would be a flop. And now he gets to sit back and watch people make memes where they take these tweets alleging that he will be a flop and they superimpose Eric's laughing face over them. That's got to be immensely satisfying. So he's an example of what I'm talking about, where he's doing something, you know, and he's showing people the way. And he's not even necessarily, he's not saying this is going to be a libertarian comic. This is just going to be a good comic. This is going to show that I can do good work. You know, that's something I want my folks to learn from and be inspired by. So I'm going to try to recruit him. And again, given how busy he is right now, you know, who knows what I'll wind up enticing him with in terms of dough, but I will entice him with dough. We will get him on and do this as part of the school life. Anyway, David Moore, I appreciate everything you've been doing. I hear nothing but great things from people like, oh, I just had my one-on-one with David and it was so helpful. So it is not going unnoticed, certainly by me and definitely not by the members. So I appreciate your time. For people listening, we reopen for a few days in August and then we close the doors again. So August 1st through the 4th, tomschooloflife.com will be open. If you want to be notified when we reopen, then head there right now and put your email in. We'll send you an email. So Tom, that's my name, Tom. schooloflife.com is the website. David, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Tomorrow, Michael Rechtenwald, your old friend, one of your favorite guests on the Tom Woods Show, returns, and we're going to talk about, well, you'll see what we're going to talk about, but this is also action-oriented because we're going to be talking about a particular evil, and Michael has a, I forget how many point plan it is. Is it a six-point plan? It's a six-point plan to defeat this evil. So that's what we're going to be hands-on practical tomorrow with the great ex-Marxist Michael Rechtenwald. I'll see you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.